930 WFMD is at your service, featuring local business people who are experts in their field.
Okay, well, this has been a long time coming, you know. My name is Tony. I'm here with my partner in crime, Christian, or Chris. How's it going, Chris?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Not too bad, not too bad. We finally made it happen. Yeah. You know, we've been talking about starting a little podcast. And but instead of starting a podcast today, we are starting our own little radio show.
Yeah, and then we're doing it right in tax season.
Yeah, right during tax season. Yeah. Yep, you know, you have to take advantage of the market, you know, as much as you can. But, yeah, so I just want to go ahead and introduce ourselves a little bit. You know, I am Chris, I am Tony, and like I mentioned, I'm here with Chris. We represent CNA Financial Services. We are a CPA office. We recently opened a location here in Frederick. And yeah, it's been about just a few months, eh?
Yeah, just a few months.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we moved from Hagerstown. We used to have an office in Hagerstown, also in Germantown, as well as Bethesda. And I think we just decided at some point to just centralize in Frederick, being that, you know, I've moved to Frederick and you live in Hagerstown, right?
In Hagerstown, yes. So.
I think this was the perfect middle ground for us. Yeah, so we are here to pretty much service the community, you know, create some partnerships and some affiliation with, you know, with everybody out there, right? It's not about you necessarily needing our services, but it's more about, you know, how we can help one another grow financially, right?
Exactly.
Or even as human beings, yeah, as well.
Exactly. That's the goal. The goal is to create great relationship in the Frederick community.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, but we operate nationwide, right?
Yeah, we do.
So I don't want people to get the impression that we only accept clients from Frederick.
That's true.
We do operate nationwide.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are housing, you know,
our operation. Yeah.
An operation in Frederick.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So. Yep. That's very true. So, yeah, so that's just a little background about ourselves. And we're just going to give you also a little bit of background about the platform, what we are looking to do, you know, through the radio show, which is eventually going to grow to a podcast, you know, eventually. So what we're really looking to do is just to have a platform where we can, you know, share with, you know, with one another about the intricacies of, you know, personal finances, the intricacies of taxes, where we can provide our opinion, our expert opinion. And also, most importantly, we want to open the platform to other businesses, right? Because one thing that we enjoy, you and I, is to always talk to other businesses and see, you know, how they got into business, how they operate, how are they successful, you know, what has it taken? Because, you know, one thing that we notice is that every business is different, right? Every business
exactly
journey is different.
Yeah, every business is different. And what we want to reinforce is the fact that every business need an accountant.
That's true.
You need an accountant. Like, that's, I feel like that's the first thing that you should think about when you start a business, because everything starts with an accountant to register your business,
yep,
you know, to open your business, to start an EIN, whatever is needed, anything that is related to compliance, start with the accountant.
Yep.
So,
yeah, it starts with the accountant, and, you know, and it also gives you, the accountant will give you a perspective on the business, right? Because there are many things and many facets of the business. By the end of the day, any business operates on what? Money, right? Yeah. You are in business to make money. You are going to spend money in order for you to make money, right? It all revolves around money. So now if you do not take care of your finances, you are going to find yourself in deep trouble. No matter how skilled you are at your job, you can be the best carpenter there is. You can be the best cook there is. You have a restaurant. But if you don't handle your finances in the back, your skills are not going to be showcased in the proper way.
But one thing that we should also mention is the unbiased part of an accountant, right?
True.
Because whatever is related to our personal finance is very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that accountant to be unbiased and to give you real insight,
mm-hmm.
that's really important. And it applies to business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you start a business, it start as a personal project. Like when you start a sole proprietorship, you know, it becomes emotional, it becomes personal. And then, you know, as you grow, you need that unbiased reinforcement,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give you a reality check.
Yep. And in order to help you grow, right, you need another perspective.
You need another
perspective. You need another perspective because, as you say, most of the people start their businesses, you know, in their garage.
Exactly.
In their basement. Right? They had an idea. They decided to go after that idea. Right? And that idea becomes successful. The business is growing. Now, that person who started in the garage finds himself in a position where he needs to hire somebody. Excuse me. He needs to buy new equipment. Right? All those things, if not properly planned, right, is just going to take you in the hole.
Yeah. And to add to what you say is that whenever you start a business, it start with your passion. Most of the time, it start mm-hmm. with something that you're passionate about. And whenever you're passionate about something, is a lot of emotion involved.
Yep.
And then, you know, you start what you like. You start what you like. But now, as you grow and if you want to scale, you need outside perspective. You need unbiased perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And which is one of the components of an accountant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that is related to finance, again, is always very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's why you need a financial advisor
mm-hmm.
in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you need, you know, an outside perspective when it comes to your finance, mm-hmm. right? Because personal finance management is very emotional.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
You will see a lot of skilled accountants that don't necessarily have their personal finance together.
Oh,
you know,
I agree.
I mean, I know it sounds controversial, but, you know, it's a reality, you know, because...
No, I perfectly agree with that.
Yeah,
I
it's the emotional component that yeah. comes into it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I think, you know, sometime in a couple, you have to have that balance, right? You have to have somebody who's a bit more objective when it comes even to your personal finances, you know, between, you know, you and your wife, right? Somebody will tend to be emotional and want to do the emotional spending, and somebody will have to be a little bit more objective, you know, and provide that counterbalance, right?
Exactly.
And you need that perspective, period, I think, you know, in general in life, right? And that's not just pertaining to your finance, but you need that general perspective in life to have another perspective to, you know, give you something that you are missing.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that's what we relate to an accountant. And you know, because one of the things that we've noticed is that a lot of small business, whenever they want to downsize, the first person that they want to cut is the accountant.
Yeah, they want to cut an accountant. I mean, and not necessarily that too. It's just that people think about an accountant when they are in trouble, right?
Yep.
Or when it's time to file taxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
An accountant always have that urgency spot mm-hmm. in people's mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that but an accountant should be like a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't go to your doctor when you are sick.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the doctor for
a checkup. Yep.
Right? So yep. That's, if people can view the accounting profession as, you know, preventive rather than reactive, right?
Proactive
rather than reactive.
Yep. That's very true. And I mean, that's one thing. And I think that's also one point that, you know, we would also like to push, of course, with our little, you know, sessions over here, will be to always highlight the importance of an accountant when it comes to business, or even like we mentioned, to your personal finances, right? It's just that outside perspective, and I think, you know, it will give you a more financial balance, in the sense where you are not, like you said, going to be reacting to things, right? So if, you know, things were to happen in your everyday life, you are ready, right? You know where the money will come from. Because you have made plans, whether it's for your children, you have made plans for your children. Whether it's for, you know, you losing a job, you have made plans. All those things can be planned out, right? So that when life happens, because life is going to happen, right? But you are just more prepared.
Exactly. But now, the challenging question that I would like to ask, if I had the opportunity to do like a survey, I would like to ask people, what is the right income bracket? Because I think having an accountant is related to cost. Mm. And most people will say, I can't afford an accountant. Mm. But what would be the income bracket where people say, I need to have a full-time accountant, right? Because most people will tell you, I don't really have enough going on in my finance to even need an accountant.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Most people will tell you that. But then you have those people, this income bracket out here, who probably will need an accountant frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just an accountant frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to know is that, what would be that income bracket? In your opinion, what would be that income bracket to where someone say, I need to have an accountant. I need to meet with my accountant at least every quarter.
Yeah.
Just for him to check on my finances.
I think it is an interesting question. And I actually had a client yesterday that I had a consultation with. Of course, you know, for privacy purpose, we're not going to reveal any name or even anything about the client. But, you know, the profile of the client, it's a couple that's doing well for themselves, right? You know, they just recently, you know, built their house. And, you know, they have young children. And, you know, they came and they were like, you know, we would like to get ahead. Right? We want to plan for our children, right? We are planning, we would like to add another car. How do we go about that? Right? And I don't think there is necessarily a income bracket. What I think is more of a mentality bracket, if I can put it that way. Because this is my thing. Everybody dream of buying a house.
Yeah.
Fair? Right? Yes. It's the American dream. We all want to get into a house, right? But there is a process for you to buy a house. You have to file your taxes a certain way for you to qualify to buy a house. There are certain things that you need to show. That means your planning for you to buy a house probably needs to start about a couple of years before you actually go and buy a house. There is a process that you have to follow. So to me, it's more of a mentality bracket, much more than an income bracket. It really depends on what you're trying to do for yourself, right? Because a lot of ways is that, you know, we tend to live our life, as you mentioned earlier, we let things happen. We are more reactionary in our life than we are actionary, if that's a word, right? Meaning today, you know, people often tend to get up and say, I want to go buy myself a new car. Did you plan to buy that new car? Because if you plan to buy that new car, right?
Yeah.
You might not get up that morning and say, I'm going to go buy a new car. But we often tend to let things happen. We go, we buy that new car, and then within 6 months, we're having issues making payment on that new car.
I mean, what I would say is that people don't necessarily value professional advisory services.
That's true.
Yeah, whether it's legal, whether it's financial, people don't necessarily value those services, right? And that's where, and then people think that because information are available on the internet, I can navigate to the internet and figure out the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, whatever I see on the internet, I'm still gambling. You know, if I don't get that advice
Yeah, the professional from advice.
Professional.
Yeah.
I'm still gambling, you know. I'm still second guessing.
Yeah.
And people don't value that advisory service.
Oh, that's
say,
true.
You know, on my monthly budget, I'm going to put like $200 a month just for advisory services or just to have access to advisory services whenever I need it, you know. And there's a lot of advisory services available out there. That's very affordable, but people don't even value that. People don't even think about it. They only think of professional services as an urgency. So I need to file my taxes. That's when I'm like, I go to my phone, navigate to my phone and say, what's my accountant number? You know, but within the year, no one think about calling the accountant and say, you know, so what can I do to save on taxes? What can I do to reduce my tax liability? What are the legal ways to avoid taxes? No one thinks about that throughout the year. But it's just only at the end of the year that they think, okay, oh, I need to file my taxes.
Yeah.
They are on the compliance mindset and that they, I need to comply and
then
file
they
my
come
taxes.
To you, and then they come to you, they expect you to work a miracle. Like, okay, sir, yeah, your taxes are right now, you're going to owe $10,000. But I should have to owe $10,000, but okay, let me see how, you know, you... You know, your expenses throughout the year or how you fill out your W-4 and things like that. But, you know, sir, this is... But no, they expect you to go in the back after they did what they did and expect you to work a miracle and reduce their tax liability. Yeah, okay, maybe I can try to work a miracle, but guess what? It would have probably been better if, you know, you and I sat January 1st and say, you know what, this is how we're going to go for the rest of the year.
Right. I'm just gonna stay. I'm just gonna say straight up, there's no such thing as a miracle when it comes to finances and accounting. It's a black
numbers
and white.
Numbers.
It's a black and white word, right?
Yeah.
It's a black and white word. Yeah. If you owe $10,000,
you owe
$10,000. That's what you owe. There's nothing. I don't decide that amount, right?
Yeah.
I don't decide that amount. So
yeah,
I mean, I can advise you not to owe it moving forward, you know, within legal parameter, but I can change that amount because I don't even make the rule.
Exactly. We just follow the rule,
yes.
Right? But the difference is just that if you come earlier, we can put contingencies in motion. We can put a plan together, right? Because sometimes, for example, we have clients that will come, you know, they came into a large sum of money. Right, and they don't know what to do with it. Right, and then we're like, okay, you know, if you put your money here or if you engage in this project at home, this is how it's going to benefit you in the long run. Oh, you know what? I'm thinking about buying a new car. All right, so now if you're thinking about buying a new car, are you open to this possibility because you might get a lot more credit over here? Right, so it's just about giving you another perspective, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go with what we say, but we're giving you a food for thought.
Exactly.
We're giving you a food for thought, and that's, I think, what we pretty much need the most, is food for thought.
In other words, people don't value those services until they find themselves in a position where, you know, they have to request those service or they have to solicit those service. But out of that, they don't necessarily value the services.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you know, let's move on a little bit. You know, how about if we talk a little bit to the folks about the new Tax Relief Act that's been passed by, you know, by Congress?
Okay, so I want to be specific about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't want to be too much. I don't want to talk too much about political process here.
Yeah.
But
we know how that goes.
Yeah. It starts with a proposal. And then when it starts with a proposal, when it go to Congress, you know, Congress approved the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Or they modify the proposal.
Yeah.
And they still have to go through a vote in Senate before it get passed into law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is, they've been talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
They've talked about, like, I'm gonna take an example, the enhanced child tax credit.
Yeah.
So it's been discussion about it. The original proposal was that we go back to where it was $3,600 per child,
mm-hmm.
like it was in pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, Congress say, we're not going to do that. This is what we're going to do. We're just going to increase the refundable portion
mm-hmm.
of the child tax credit.
Yep.
And they increase it by 200. And then I think it's a schedule from 2023 to mm-hmm. 2025, right?
Okay.
So that's what was approved by Congress at this point that I can say for sure, right?
So in other terms.
Yeah.
You said they increased it by 200.
Because it was...
I think right now
to be exact, it was 1,600 refundable.
But that's
allowed. It's 1,800 refundable.
Yeah.
And it's set to go up because it's within 3 years, 2023, 2024, and 2025.
Yeah.
You know. And then in 2025, it will expire and then it will be revised.
Yeah.
So that's really what it is, and that's really how much we know at this point.
So pretty much in layman's term, for the people who fall within that bracket, is I guess to debunk the myth that they were going to raise it to $3,600.
Yes, that was the intention. That was the proposal.
Yeah.
But that's not what was approved.
Yeah.
And that's not what was approved.
So pretty much only 200 has been raised. The limit has been raised by $200.
In refundable. The total is still 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it was 2,000 total,
mm-hmm.
which is 1,600 refundable
mm-hmm.
and 400 non-refundable.
And
I will try to give a little bit of background between what's a refundable credit
mm-hmm.
and the non-refundable credit.
Please right? do.
So, I mean, that's another topic, but I would just give like a broad explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Non-refundable credit is pretty much, it covers your tax liability.
Mm-hmm.
So if you owe $10,000 and you have a $5,000 non-refundable credit, it reduces your tax liability by $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now, if you don't have a tax liability, right? If you do not have a tax liability, so it goes, if you don't have a tax liability, it refunds you the tax that you paid, right?
Okay.
So if you pay $2,000 in taxes
mm-hmm.
and then you have a $5,000 non-refundable credit,
mm-hmm.
so the $5,000, so you're only going to get back what you pay, and then you lose the $3,000 non-refundable portion. So that's how non-refundable credit work.
Okay.
So, and there's a lot of credit that have a refundable portion mm-hmm. and the non-refundable portion.
Mm-hmm.
Like the American Opportunity, which is the popular student credit.
Yeah.
Only $1,000 is refundable
mm-hmm.
and $2,500 is non-refundable.
Yes.
$1,500
is not refundable.
It's not refundable.
Yeah.
So you will guaranteely get the $1,000
mm-hmm.
whether you paid. So if your tax liability is zero,
mm-hmm.
you get $1,000.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And then the remaining non-refundable portion will go into your tax liability.
Okay. Okay. Now, is there any other thing within the Tax Relief Act that you think the people should know about?
So the things that people should know about is the depreciation, the Section 179 depreciation.
This is for the businesses.
This is for the businesses, you know. So I know the bonus depreciation was increased to 100%.
Okay.
And the Section 179, I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, I'm not going to go too deep into Section 179.
Of course.
But I'm pretty sure that a lot of people have heard it.
Yes.
So it has pretty much, you know, the limit was increased, and then the bonus depreciation was also raised to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not going to go deep into it because that's another
course. That's another course. Yeah,
we only have 20 minutes.
Yeah, so we got maybe 5 minutes left to go. So you know, yeah. So we need to wrap it up pretty much quickly, but. Yeah, so we have the business tax relief, and you also had they talk about the support for small businesses, but I don't think this would be much relevant right now.
Yeah.
But I have to say, you know, it was a pleasure, you know, to be here today. We are going to be having this, you know, type of show at least, twice a week?
Twice a week, yes.
Yeah, twice a week. And, you know, we are going to keep evolving, right? So this is definitely our first try, right? So we'll probably get better as time goes by. We'll become a little bit more prepared, that's for sure. You know, we will probably cut a lot of ums and ahs and oohs. So, you know, and, you know, we're trying to keep it a little bit lighthearted, right? It's about having a conversation. You know, we are going to be posting it on our social media. You can follow us on Facebook at CNA Financial Services. And also on Instagram as well. It's CNA Financial Services again. And go to our website. Will be CNAfinancialservices.com. What else am I missing?
Okay. And also, I would like to add that, you know, we want this conversation to be engaging, you know.
Yes.
We want this conversation to be engaging. So if there's any topic that you want us to discuss,
yep,
you know, feel free to ask questions.
Okay.
Feel free to go to our social media page.
Yep.
And then ask questions.
Sure.
And
yep,
then we will discuss this topic, you know.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, we want to be informative, right? We
yep
don't want to have, we don't want to do have redundant topics, you
yep
know. We just,
we don't control the knowledge.
We don't control the knowledge,
right?
You see,
we don't control the knowledge. Everybody has knowledge. Everybody has something to share, and we're just a vehicle, right? So until next time, you guys stay easy.